You are listening to episode number 146 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Now with more mod power.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another exciting and delayed episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We apologize. Hey, life gets in the way. For some reason, and I look back on the file on the website, September is one month we just seem to have, like, we just can't get together. But whatever, we're here now, and unfortunately our regular co-hosts are not joining us, except for one of them, in our my main man, Taser. Taser, welcome back once again.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
And the man who is kind of my boss and also my co-podcaster on another podcast that I think I'm officially on now, Mr. Brandon West. Welcome once again after, what, a two-year absence?
Or more. Yeah, something like that.
Future
yeah,
Foundation,
we had a good run there.
Future Foundation was a thing when last time we had you on.
Wow.
Wow, that does say something. Shit.
Oddly enough, I did just go back and reread that stuff and loved it.
You bought the Omnibus hardcover?
Yeah.
Damn, I really wish I could drop money for that.
I just like Spidey in his white suit. I missed that suit. The all nano suit. Awesome.
Only one who liked it. All right, anyways, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are the podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, entertainment, and otherwise. But we don't have any news today that I want to talk about. I know Quicksilver was cast. The guy who's playing Kick-Ass is playing Quicksilver, but I don't really care. I'll wait. We'll talk about that when the regular cohorts are on, or when we get new information. Whatever I feel like the most. But instead, as you know, 2 weeks ago we were finally treated to the pilot episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yay!
The much anticipated, yay, sort of the same day as Iron Man 3. Funny enough, Iron Man 3 review is coming. We just got to get everybody together. It will happen, come hell or high water. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out. The pilot episode, we will not be talking about the second episode because I have not seen it yet, despite everybody and their mother has. But I want to go to the T-Man. What did you like about the pilot episode for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I liked Ward. You know, Ward was, you know, man of action, to the point, get shit done, get in, get out, you know, as it should be. Okay? I liked Ming-Na Wen. Ming-Na Wen. Such a lovely, lovely woman. Having Coulson back in front of me, you know, being somewhat buddy-buddy, cheery guy, that felt good. I have to admit, I've really warmed up to Agent Coulson. He's a fucking LMDito, and even though I know Wes disagrees with this, I'm saying it now, Lola's his damn battery charger. All right. The other three, Sky, okay, Sky's cute. Yeah. You know, just not even going to argue that. But
yeah,
she's annoying. And is she supposed to be the entryway for us into this?
She's like, and she's like us.
Okay, all right. I can agree with that. The other two, Fitz and Simmons, they need to die or go somewhere or just not be them. There's no way you can tell me that an organization like S.H.I.E.L.D. that operates on as high a clearance level as they've got to operate would let those two acting the way they do come through the ranks and graduate and be respected members, and they still act like a bunch of bumbling dodo heads. I don't get that. And I understand that, well, it's on, you know, it's on ABC, which is owned by Disney, and it's, you know, it's lighter, and you know, I guess the kids might hook onto it, or it makes the show less intense than I personally might like it. But no, no, those two, whenever they open their mouth and it's not just a pure D explanation for something, I just want to throw my TV out. Seriously. And yeah, my biggest problems with this show, really, it's a bit with Sky, but it's mostly with Fitz and Simmons. I do not like those two. I don't. Do not like them. Not at all.
You sure?
Yeah, kind of. A bit, maybe. No, it's just I can't even argue for, you know, over the lack of a level of professionalism that I would think should be inherent. It's just that the jokes that come from them are both redundant, boring, you know, expected, and not funny. You know, I don't laugh at anything that they've got to say that's, you know, comical or whatever. I just look at them and I go, why? You know, even their dress is just wrong. You know, freaking, you've got Coulson who wears a suit everywhere. You've got Sky who wears something that's kind of sort of approximate for field op, for field work. Same thing with, what's her name, Melinda May, Ming-Na Wen. Sky, I can understand because she's not technically a member of S.H.I.E.L.D., but these two, hey, look, I've got my button-up shirt all the way with the collar, and, you know, I'm wearing a nice sporty sweater. Look, you know, we're a couple of, what do they call them now, beatniks?
Hipsters,
yeah, you know, hey, look, all they need is, like, the dude needs a cap and maybe a soul patch.
A fedora. And,
yeah, a day.
The fedora, you know? Because hipsters love fedoras.
And I mean, they're just wrong. They don't fit the picture. And, you know, I guess maybe that's what they want for the show, but yuck. So, yeah, those two really fuck up the show for me. Seriously.
Let's go to the non-Marvel aficionado, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What did you think of this, of the pilot episode?
I'll agree that I definitely wanted a more intense show. I wanted not as comedic as, I don't know, Burn Notice, but probably not as serious as Zero Dark Thirty. You know, somewhere in between those. You know, that was my ideal look for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think it was clear through the promo that I wasn't getting that, but it was not clear that it would be so cheesy. This was every joke that they told, and this is beyond Fitz, beyond Simmons, which is horrible enough as it is. That's just,
does it start with Coulson? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. The light bulb was out. Does it start with that?
Pretty much. It starts with that, and it ends with Lola being a flying car.
Oh, but that's a staple. Like,
Lola didn't fly. It was a damn hover car.
Well, still, like, the whole, like, that's, I smiled when I saw that shit.
I did, too, because, well, I knew they had to put it in there, but I was disappointed in that if it's a car, and excuse me for cutting you off, Wes, but if it's a car that can fly and they're trying to get to the airport in 10 minutes, they're following the road. And as much as a fanboy nitpick as I recognize that is, that just was fucking stupid. I'm sorry, go on. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I just think that the flying car didn't do anything. Like, we had a man jump out a window, or, I mean, climb up a building, jump out of a four-story building, get shot in the head with some super rifle, and then you show a flying car at the end. Like, We've already seen this spectacular already. You know, there's no need for you to throw in a cheesy flying red car. You know, that could have been saved for much later down the road, and we would be like, oh, that's why he loves Lola. You know, that would have been a good moment. But instead, it's just like this toss-away scene at the end of an episode that already had fell flat. And then now it just seems like, eh, you know? And then the follow-up episode didn't even have to do with the
Remember,
final
you didn't
scene.
See two. Be careful.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it. I just want to say that the final scene in the first episode is not followed up upon. So it's just really weird for me. Anyway, as far as characters go, I agree that Ward was definitely the only standout for me. I thought I enjoyed Skye, but upon rewatching the first episode, I did not enjoy her so much the second time around. I won't get into the details of the dress, though I will say that everybody should be wearing suits because that's just how I picture S.H.I.E.L.D.
I wanted them jumpsuits with the patches, like Serenko's too. That would have been awesome.
That would be nice, but you know, something that showed a bit of uniformity.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
would have been acceptable.
Men in Blackish would have been fine with me. You know, just they don't have to be tuxes, but you know, nice suits, white shirt, black tie.
Did it say S.H.I.E.L.D. agent on the side of them?
Just have the logo, man. Just have the logo.
Armband.
I really want to be harsh towards Melinda May, but I feel like I'm never going to warm up to that character, ever. Like, that just seems like a really boring character.
Well, she's the character who's, I've done this already, I don't want to do this anymore. And maybe that's going to play off later on down the road. I don't know, but I like...
She's the damaged character. You know, she's scarred. She's got... Well, the thing that you guys love, you know, emotional scarring.
Well, no, she's what the lead male protagonist, she's what he is, but like years later, but she's like has death duty because she probably wanted it because like I've done enough field work already.
No, she had it because, you know, she's got that nickname,
Mayday?
Mayday, exactly. And you kind of get the idea that something went horribly, horribly wrong, you know, which is why that she's, you know, was riding a desk. So
we'll find out.
Is it good? Right. I just don't have the optimism to say that whatever that event was going to be enough to warrant not a desk job, but enough to warrant her not being, you know, enthusiastic about this role. You know, as a big deal, it's just like, oh, you could have got over that, you know. There's no reason why you should have been like, yo, this is a level 7 job for me now. I guess I should push it to the side and keep working on this paperwork. It's like, no, you should be like, all right, let's get back in the game. Because what went down really wasn't that big of a deal. You should get over it. But, like I said, Ward seemed like the only interesting character because every... opinion he stated, I mean, everything he stated was true. It's like, hey, Coulson, Skye's, you know, a hazard. She's just a civilian. She shouldn't be here. Right. You know, it's just like there was no defense. It was just like, no, trust me, I'm Coulson. And she didn't do anything the entire episode to warrant her being there. It's just like, Coulson, what are you thinking, man? I enjoyed Coulson in the Avengers. I enjoyed him in Thor. I really enjoyed the short in the gas station. Was it a gas station? I think it was
gas station.
On the way to Thor's hammer or something like that. Mm-hmm. A funny thing happened. That's what it was. That was great. But I'm really worried they're going to ruin the character with this show now. Just off this one episode. Just off this one episode, it's got me worried. But I'm very optimistic that season 2 will be a pretty good thing because
we got to get there.
Well, yeah. They got huge ratings. They got
dropped off by half. I'm sorry for this, but it dropped off by half the second episode. That's a huge.
I think half of 20 million is still pretty good. I'm just
okay, but
Roger. I don't know if it was 20.
All right, but say if that trend continues,
That's not, that's my true. Dream of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. leading to Avengers 2 is not. Well, not. That's my dream.
I don't think Joss. I don't think Whedon is going to let the show be canceled in the first season. He's going to get 2 seasons out of this, at least 2 seasons. I mean, he's been through so many different shows at this point that he has to know how to get 2 seasons.
Well, he's not even really on this because he's too busy working on Avengers. It's his brother.
Yeah, I think he's executive producer.
Yeah, if his name's attached because...
Yeah.
Because it's his name, and that'll get people to watch because Avengers, but...
Oh, you guys don't trust Jeff Loeb and Jed Whedon?
Well, yeah. they're not Joss Whedon.
There are
Whedon.
A lot of executive producers here. I mean, I think Alan Fine got a producer credit, and Joe Q got one.
I'm a Whedon fan. I love Buffy!
Well, I've never seen Buffy, really, but like, I don't have like the affinity for him. I've liked the stuff that I've... like Avengers and his X-Men run. I've liked the stuff that I've seen of his, but I'm not like, oh my God, Whedon forever. Whedon can do no wrong. When he can, Serenity. Yeah, I went there.
The movie?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? The movie was awesome.
I didn't like it. And I saw Firefly. Anyways, back to US because we keep interrupting you.
But that's fun.
Oh, no. I mean, you can argue about Buffy all you want. I don't watch that stuff.
I think you would like Buffy. Knowing who you are, I think you would like Buffy.
I feel like if I watch Buffy, the special effects would bother me. I don't know.
Actually,
is Buffy anything like Charmed? Because I hate Charmed.
No.
In that there were strong female characters, yes. In that it was like
a
lot
me
of
a sexist
magic.
Now?
No. What I'm saying is some shows tend to, you know, your lead character might be one thing, but you have, you know, they're surrounded with something else. You know, you might see lead characters female, but you might have this guy here, that guy here, this guy here, that guy here. With Charmed, you had three decidedly strong female characters. They had one guy, and then almost all of, I think, well, at least a lot of their antagonists were women of some type, you know, this, that, a problem of the week. Was some chick or whatever. With Buffy, you had strong female character who's got, you know, her gang, and it was really originally just like two of them, you know, Willow and Xander. Xander takes a while. Willow, you know, she kind of jumps out to the front, although she's more understated. But the characters, you know, they supplement her. You know, and in some cases they compliment her also, but it's really, you know, about Buffy, and she's a really interesting character. You know, later on in like once you hit like 4th, 5th, and 6th seasons, she gets really more complex, a lot more complex.
Well, I think that says a lot for Whedon. He has that reputation of being
and he does a good job of it. You know, and it's well earned. Which I do
hope. This cast
hope.
Is predominantly female, by the way.
Hey.
Or even, I think.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
Nothing wrong with that.
Actually, yeah, you got a point. But notice, though, the lead in this really isn't – it's really Coulson, you know. But he's here at this point, that point, and this point, but he's not the one that's really in the mix for the most part. You know, it's really Ward, Sky, and – fucking Fitz and Simmons, you know. May is, I'm here in the ship. I'm just waiting for things to, you know, go wrong because. And freaking Coulson's off drinking happy juice and, you know, with the plug into his battery pack. I can see Whedon at least telling his brother and giving some directions. I don't know about Loeb, but I can see him, you know, building up and playing the characters so that, you know, you kind of get involved in them. You know, and you start to care for them however he's going to do it. I can see that happening. But it's just the way this show plays out, you know, based on the last two episodes, I don't know if I want to be there for the ride, you know. Kind of the same problem with Firefly, although a lot of that had to do with me not liking Westerns. And that really was like fucking wagon train, and, you know, I just couldn't get around that. I it still has potential, but a lot of this show still bothers me. It really does. I'll give it another 2 or 3 episodes, and if it hasn't picked up, I'm gone. I gotta.
Wow. You're not even willing to give it the full season?
No, because that's time. There are other things I would rather waste an hour on, like shit.
There's nothing to do on a Tuesday night.
If it was Thursday night, I'd agree with you.
And on top of it, well, this season hasn't turned out that great either, because I'm kind of dissatisfied with New Girl. I just no. But anyway.
I think I'm one of the few people who actually liked the fact that it was lighthearted. You know, granted, I do think they should have a better balance of, you know, a much more gritter isn't the right word. Serious mature. Tone, but
mature
tone. But at the same time, you are dealing with crazier shit than some of those other shows have dealt with. Plus, if I want my intense show, I just go watch Law and Order SVU. So I like.
But see, that's if it's all about hardcore law. This being what it is, and you know, yeah, fine. Except that it's about a lot of the non-comic booky stuff within the comic book universe.
Well, yeah.
Marvel universe, the Marvel movieverse, whatever you want to call it. I knew from the jump that because it was coming on ABC and it's done by, you know, backed by Disney, we weren't going to get Law and Order SVU. That's fine.
Well, yeah, of course. I like the fact that the characters played off each other well. They had a nice charisma with each other. Sky's gorgeous. Does not deny that. But she didn't.
Again, yeah, she's cute. That's about it.
Well, you know, nothing wrong with that. Whatever. I'm sure she's going to have a developing character story, I guess, as season progresses.
That could happen. True.
You know, this is all just based on one. I don't like the Gundam series based on one episode. I won't. I thought it was okay. I liked the sort of wings. Seeing Maria Hill was nice. Hearing Extremis, you know, that was pretty cool. See Iron Man 3 and on Blu-ray now, which is basically.
Yeah, but see, it. I'm not judging it based on the one episode or the two episodes.
No. I'm saying me personally.
I had also seen. I watched the full season of No Ordinary Family. You know,
how to handle properties like this, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, a lot of what I saw there, I'm seeing here. And I stuck with that because, you know, I was kind of hoping it would get to something. And I got to say, I was really disappointed, you know, but I stuck with it to the end only because I had heard they were going to cancel it. So it's like, oh, well, how the hell are they going to tie off the storyline? So, you know, it's like that. All right, fine. F it. I'm in it. I want to see what they do just so I got peace of mind personally. This, I don't know, because I'm using this as a gauging point, you know, on what they will and won't do for TV. That's kind of what's, you know, framing my opinion. You know, I'm using this as a bit of a marker, a measuring marker.
Well,
so
as this episode, I thought Coulson was nice. I thought I think I'm a person who loves corniness because I pretty much laughed at every single joke. I did find Fitz and Simmons to be annoying. I'm like, that's gonna be a problem. So I agree with you guys there. Although it is very evident that this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe on TV with the TV budget. So that was a little bit of a problem for me at some point. but I'm interested. I'm not hooked as much as I wanted it to be. And maybe that's just your high expectations, you know. And maybe that was a lot of people based on the 500,000 viewer drop. But for what it was, and for accepting it for what it is, it's not bad, it's not terrible. Could do I want more? Absolutely, but everybody wants more of everything. So for what it was, I'm going to watch it, you know, just simply because of it is canonically tied to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and, you know, I want to see what happens next. And, you know, I do like most of the main characters. I want to see Belinda May's sort of what's her deal. I want to see is his name Ward, right?
Yeah.
I want to see, like, you know, eventually he's gonna, like, he kind of reminds me of Cyclops, a kind of a stiff guy who plays by the rules. You know, no snappy banter, mister, that kind of guy. This guy should play Cyclops.
That wouldn't be bad. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I'd like to see him in Avengers 2. I really would.
Well, maybe they'll get cameos. Hey, we're here. Oh, never mind. The real stars are here now. But no, overall, I thought it was nice. I thought, like, the sort of... The only thing that I thought was really corny was Colby Smulders' deliver line of, "He must never know." That's the only thing where I thought, like, wow, that was really comic booky. And I didn't hate it, but, like, that was the only one that stuck out of my mind. But I liked it for what it was. It wasn't terrible. Like, I saw a lot of people compare, like, this is the worst thing ever. This is awful. I'm bored. I'm like, well, I was pretty entertained.
That's all. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like I said, it gets 3 more episodes. You know, everything that I do and that I watch and read and experience that's supposed to be more than a month
old. I keep hearing about there's something at episode 2 that happens that I apparently need to watch. But
yeah, I won't tell you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm luckily I haven't had it spoiled for me on Twitter, but we'll see.
It's all fun. My non-comic book reading friends hated the show. Like, they liked the Avengers, they liked the Iron Man movies and so on, but they hated the show.
Well, that says something.
Yeah.
That's why we got that big drop-off.
Well, okay, before we get into the comics, since we're not going to talk about Iron Man 3, because fuck it, I'm pulling a little... did y'all see the... Peggy Carter one shot that came with Iron Man 3?
No, that means I'd have to pay for it, so no.
Okay. I figured they would have a scan of it somewhere.
Yeah, but I just haven't bothered.
Okay. Well.
Continue.
Peggy Carter, I want more of her. That's all. Anyways, moving on.
Fine actress. You know, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed her in Captain America. Thumbs up, you know. More Peggy Carter would be more gooder.
But it was a nice little short, yeah.
Maybe we'll discuss it fully when we do an Iron Man 3 review. All right, so moving on is our book of the week, which I chose because I thought it was an interesting story and something we should didn't talk about. This is The Trial of the Punisher #1, written by Mark Guggenheim, drawn by, which I had no idea he did this. Probably did it a while ago, and they just had it away and just didn't, you know... waiting for time to release it, by Lionel Francis Yu of Secret Invasion, Superman Birthright fame, and currently working on Avengers. So basically, Mark Guggenheim is he's a TV writer. He wrote Green Lantern, the movie, I believe. And so basically, he sort of pitched this idea of, like, well, we've seen Frank in jail, but we've never seen Frank go through due process. And so here we have Frank Castle basically turned himself in with the body of a murdered district attorney. And we sort of see Frank Castle go through due process, interrogation, hearing your lawyer, going through evidence, of course, dealing with inmates, but he's none to do that. My favorite panel is the scene where he meets his lawyer and he's like, this one's all business. That's good. Real good. You know? It was just it was fascinating. Of course, they play the insanity to flee because you have to be kind of insane to be Frank Castle considering what he's been through. You know? And, you know, hearing court of evidence and stuff like that. I really enjoyed this. I thought Mark Guggenheim, and this is a person who's read a lot of Punisher and claims not to be a Punisher fan, but I guess I am somewhat. I think he got the voice of Frank Castle down, that sort of serious, no nonsense, straight to the answers kind of guy, dealing with the facts, but yet somehow engaging. And I just love the setup. Like, because Taser, you've been reading Marvel Comics longer than I have, but I don't think I've ever seen the Punisher on trial. Like, we've seen
him. Yeah, this is the first for me.
We've seen him in jail hundreds of times, but apparently they just throw him away the key and not seeing him on throw away due process when it comes to Frank Castle. I thought Lionel Francis Hughes' art was really was great as usual. You know, it fit the tone of the book. I don't know who colored this book. As I look it up right now, how unprofessional I am.
Sunny Cho.
Sunny Go. Had a nice sort of muted palette. You know, it's a lot of browns and grays, which, you know, sort of makes it feel everything much more somber, at least in my opinion.
It's New York-y.
Yeah, I guess that's the point. But I just really am fascinated by the story. And it was also a really entertaining read from beginning to end for me. So I give it, you know, if I had to give it anything, I give it a 4 out of 5. I was pleasantly surprised about this. And I didn't even know this was happening until I saw it at the shop. I'm like, huh, well then. Wes, you not being a regular of the Punisher, what do you think of this little snippet of the trial of the Punisher number one? I guess we'll come back to you. Taser, what did you think of the Punisher, trial of the Punisher number one?
I have to admit, I greatly enjoyed this. For all the reasons that you laid out, on top of which Lanil Yu's art in showing Frank at certain points just kind of staring at the reader, and you see that, you know, there's something else going on there. And I'm sitting here and I'm flipping, well, not technically flipping through it, I'm more like hitting page up and page down. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, this can't be what I think it is. There's something else going on here. And I'm looking at different points where he's looking forward and I'm, oh, this is something else is going to happen. What the hell? You know, there's an intensity here. And he seems to be determined to actually play this out, you know, in civilian court, you know, rather before what we would have seen is Frank would have gotten caught and then he would have been in lockup and, you know, everything else like this. That would have been like maybe in the background before somebody comes and he breaks and he gets broken out or he breaks himself out or whatever. No, they're showing this happening. And I gotta admit, it's actually well done. You know, the point when that little Italian guy comes in with, you know, hey, it's Vinny and it's Guido. Hey, what are you doing? We're gonna take a kick your ass. And he's like, yeah, I waited till they got nice and tight, and then I kicked their ass. I'm like, okay. I was actually worried for a second because I thought he was just gonna take it the way they were, the way Guggenheim was writing them. But nah, that did not happen. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I really did. I was pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised. And I'll actually find the next one because I really want to see what this thing, the I'm gonna say mathematical formula or whatever that he had written on that last page. I got to see how that plays out. Because also something tells me that prosecutor that he popped, yeah, that guy wasn't an innocent, and he knows it, but I think he figures this is the only way that I could get in and get somebody else out.
Yeah, you know? Frank Castle, as a guy who's painted, like, he doesn't kill people unless he knows you're doing something.
Right.
He doesn't kill cops unless they're dirty. He doesn't kill... anybody.
I will accept that sometimes people just kind of wander into the militia, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I've
of
seen
course.
Frank take and do what he can to like get them out of harm's way or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would not put it past him for him to be in the middle of a nice, clean wipe up job and hey, everybody here got chased for you know that kind of thing. Seeing the scene where that dude gets popped, that should actually kind of made me smile. I'm like, ah, I've seen that in a movie before. But yeah, I'll give this the same rating you gave it. I give this a 4 Warriors out of 5. This was a solid read, a very solid read, good art. And if you're in the mood for something just a little bit different, you know, and still be within the Cape universe, This is something I recommend. This is a pickup.
All right, well, let's go to the man who I'm pretty sure doesn't have a lot of experience with Frank Castle, the Punisher, a.k.a. the Punisher himself. What did you think of this issue, Mr. West?
I was extremely bored. Everything you brought up, I just kept saying, that was boring. That was boring, too. Yeah, guess what? Still boring. Like, the only part that interests me was when his public defender showed up, and I said, all right, let me give her a voice, you know, because so far the issue hasn't really been kicking for me. Let me give her a voice. So I gave her, you know, I tried to do my best Aaron Sorkin where everybody talks fast. So I said, here, let's have her, and I'm going to read her dialogue really fast. And that was the only way a character got interesting to me. Ben, you said that you enjoyed Guggenheim's take on Frank, where he's still that gruff guy, and like I couldn't get into him.
That's Frank Castle, man.
Yeah, yeah, I got that, you know, and from the very few Punisher stories that I've read, I'm able to hook into that, like, fairly quickly. Like, I get that with Ennis's work. Not so much here, and I guess it's because there isn't a lot of Punisher acts going on. You know, there's a lot of, I did this, I did that, I'm going to do this, but we don't get to see a lot of it. Go ahead.
Do you think that's more placating? Like, maybe it hurts you because you, like, me and Taser have read our fair share of Punisher stories. Probably, no offense, probably more than you have. And we've known he's done X and Y and been all over the world. Do you think that hurts your reading experience by not knowing reading more?
Not at all. I know his reputation.
Okay.
I've seen the movies. I know how bad he
is. The movies are not his reputation of what he is. I'll say that much.
I know that the Punisher gets violent. I know the Punisher kills, you know, and it's spelled out here that he's gone nationwide. Like, this guy, like, if I was a lawyer in New York, the dream case would be to lock up the Punisher up. That is the bar. Like, one short step of defending Iron Man is sending the Punisher to jail. That's the dream. Yeah.
Okay.
On the other hand, it's just like, hey, real talk, this guy should be in jail. I don't care what, you know, mastermind plan he has, because the story you've been told so far doesn't want me to get to that point, you know? Like, Taser just said, like, hey, I really want to find out what this formula means. I really do, too, except that every other page in the story just didn't hook me enough. You know, it's like, you can't just give me one page like, oh, he has a plan. Yeah, I knew he had a plan once he walked into the police station. Like, I didn't need the final page to do that for me. And as far as art goes, I usually love Francis Yu's art, but I didn't like his new style on Indestructible Hulk, and I don't like it here. It just doesn't work for me. I feel like there are shiny parts on people's heads where there shouldn't be. You know, it's just this really glossy art style, and it just doesn't need to be. I feel like that there's detail in it, and, you know, it's miles better than half the industry. Granted, but I don't think it works here. I don't think it's necessarily tailored to a story that needs to be really focused on the character expressions. If this was a Michael Lark drawn story, then we get those characters expressing the anger, you know, the shock, you know, the shock of seeing Frank like having enough, like, all right, I'm done getting punched in the face, it's time to flip the switch, you know? That will be a legitimate moment, you know, as, you know, when I look at that panel with, I don't forget his name, but so I just steal it from Taser, the little Guido steps in, you know, when he's getting his, you know, his last moments before the Punisher, you know, flips the switch, it's like, he should, like, really, like, the fear should be in him. Like, it should be no question that I'm going to die right now. And then I look at Francis's art, and it's just like, there's a little tear. Like, no, man, this guy should be red in the face. His eyes should be super wide open. And I don't know. I didn't have high expectations for this issue, but I certainly don't want to read the second one.
Well, yeah. Oh, there's a lot of great Punisher stories. I wouldn't say this is a great one, but it's an interesting one. At least for me. Because, you know.
Does this make you say, hey, I want to go pick up some more Mark Guggenheim written stories?
I've read a lot of his stuff that he's done. It Has doesn't he done say that.
I feel like he did The Flash, and that's about it.
He's done some more Marvel stuff that I've read over the years. Couldn't tell you what it was now, but I know I've read it. But yeah, So I think 2 out of 3 continuing. I may make the second one the book of the week. We'll see, because I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I'll be there to pick it up, because I honestly do want to see how this plays out. To be honest with you, that formula thing.
When I first saw this, I could have said, man, they should do like the trial of Dr. Doom, because I know you are begging for that series. Doom on trial would be something.
Any trial of Dr. Doom should end with Doom with a bullet in the head. Yes. You know?
Okay, anyways, so let's move on to our sort of individual review segments. And I'm not doing this to piss my co-host off, but the book I'm going to be discussing is Uncanny Avengers number 12, written the best Marvel Now book current going right now, as rated by me in the last episode. So here we get a little bit of backstory. This is not drawn by series regular artist Dana Lacuna. This is, in fact, drawn by Cable and X-Force artist Salvador LaRocca. I'm like, maybe that's why he was doing fill-in. He needed a fill-in on Cable and X-Force. Anyways, so here we get a little sort of backstory on the children of Archangel and Enderman and their names are so ridiculously hard to say. But the twins of Archangel, I'll just call them that, and sort of how they came to be, and you know, we get a little panel segment of like, you know, what the other X-Men groups. I'm like, what are we doing? Well, how come we weren't notified of this? And we get a little of the Uncanny X-Men. And I was like, how the hell did a new Apocalypse, you know, rise up without any of us knowing, you know? And like, because you don't have any friends, Scott, that's why. Which I thought that was funny. So the Apocalypse twins have chosen Scarlet Witch to lead the Rapture of Mutants to another utopia. And in doing so, they would they promised her nothing would happen to her and Simon. Remender is sort of hinting at, you know, Simon and Wonder Man sort of rekindling their lost love. Not really anything happening, more just being support, but it could go there. With some good covert op missions with Janet, with the Wasps, Havoc, and Captain America. A nice little fight with Banshee and some of the Avengers stuff. Just more sort of conflict. It wasn't the best issue of the run, but it all ends with Kang thinks he's manipulating the twins into sort of getting mutants off the board so they're not a pest to him, but in reality, the twins have Kang outmaneuvered and they stole from his throne room Georgiamorne, which is Thor's axe. And due to certain events, which I won't spoil because you should read the book, Kang's own time reality is being destroyed because of something the twins did. So, this book is just, as I said a million times before, it just has that great Avengers feel of just action, big ideas, but sort of that depth that I love about the X-Men that I can't explain, but you know it when you see it, at least for me. I love the subplot. You know, I love seeing the Four Horsemen of Death with Banshee. I wonder what happened to Thor and Wolverine. You don't get to see where any of them are at, but the only thing that hurts the issue is that it wasn't drawn by Dana Lacuna, the regular series artist, and it was done by Salvador LaRocca, who's not a bad artist, and he's one of my favorites, but he just isn't, like, it's just such a jarring change from what I've been used to. Although they do hint that, because Wanda's still feeling guilty over what she did in M, you know, with House of M, and that she even says that that she wasn't strong enough to from Doom's influence, basically kind of confirming that it was kind of Doom
who. Are you see?
Yeah.
See.
So like, while Wanda did it,
It was a manipulation by Doom.
Yeah, and
that's part of my problem with Marvel Comics, but in comics in general, if you want to create something where we're supposed to be empathic towards these characters in some way, shape, or form, and you have them do shit like, I'm tired of mutants, no more mutants, zap, okay? And then, like, you know, 5-10 years down the line, you want to go, oh, but she wasn't feeling good. And you know, you have freaking Children's Crusade where Wolverine's like, grr, I'm going to kill her. Grr, she's dangerous. Grr, I'm going to kill her. And then he's 5 feet away and he's, grr, grr. Nothing, you know? And you've got Cap and Cyclops staring around, you know, giving each other stares that led to nowhere. And then you have Dr. Doom going, "What are you, stupid woman? I will marry you, and you will give me good babies. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you went nuts because I allowed you to," and blah, 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 blah. And that's like a whole what the fuck that doesn't actually get followed up on.
What's getting followed up here a little bit.
Okay, but, you know, I mean, there's a blank spot when it comes to Wanda.
Yeah.
And that's part of my problem.
There's been a lot of good Wanda stuff in this book, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I can't read that book anymore. It's like, oh, look, mutants and non-mutants working together. Yeah, that's happened before. That's not new. Yeah, so.
But sort of the circumstances in the book. Sort of like that. But I just like it. I just still like it, you know.
If you're making the purchase, if it's floating your boat, there ain't nothing I can say. Except you have sucky taste.
Well, you know what? Yeah, New Avengers can suck it. All right. Ah! Yeah, I said that. New Avengers can suck it.
Yeah,
not as good as you say it.
But you don't mean it. We both know that, right?
Oh, I mean it. I don't read New Avengers anymore. I dropped that book like a head in a heart piece.
You have no taste in books.
Nope. All right.
Oh, he admits it.
Resident Guest Man. All New X-Men number 17 with the Battle of the Atom stuff.
Yeah, man. Battle of the Atom has not been good so far, so I was really cautious to see how it would do with one of my favorite books that I'm reading right now. And it got better. You know, it's one thing to get, you know, go from really boring series to great, but it really tried. Future stories are very hard to tell, so you know, jumping right into future story, X-Men, especially when they have such a really, really deep history of being great stories, Bendis definitely put the shoulder on his back and tried to carry it. I think he did a pretty good job. I think the only thing holding this future back is the horrific designs. And I guess we could blame Art Adams for that. Those are some terrible designs.
You shut your whore mouth about Art Adams. Man is a god.
Man has terrible taste in design, though.
You suck.
Exactly. High five, Taser.
There you go. Bro fist.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah. So, the art was good. Stuart Immonen is usually on point with his art, and there's no surprise here. The big traumatic scene with President Dazzler being murdered or assassinated, is the right word, was very beautiful, very sad. I think Beast dialogue was just like, "Dear Lord," and it was just like, oh, you can feel it, you know? And usually when they play up the mute, like, early Uncanny Avengers, when they played up the mutant human relations bit and how it was so stressful right now, you know, usually that just comes off as like, blah, it's not that big of a deal, you know, but I don't know. For some reason, maybe it's because I'm reading Uncanny X-Men as well, and they're coming off this big, huge mutant rally that was written very well. Just the impact of a mutant president being elected and then assassinated before she even like has her, actual
inauguration speech.
Inauguration. Thank you. I couldn't think of that word at all. Yeah. Before she has that speech, it's just like, bam, like just cut it off right at the heart. There's a very traumatic thing. And then to see it go from this very dark place to start an issue to seeing Magic and Colossus reunite as brother and sister, it's like that's impressive writing, you know, to be able to have that balance. That's very, very impressive. And like I said, the art is amazing. Every time Cyclops opens his mouth, I just think, oh my God, I wish this guy was real so I could wear red and black every day, wear stickers on my shirt you know, that says Cyclops was right. You know, that is Bendis writing Cyclops the exact way he should be written, given the circumstances. And I don't think this is the Cyclops I would want to read if, you know, this was pre-Schism, but the Cyclops right now in the midst of X-Men from the future, X-Men from the past, powers broken, this is the guy I want to read about. And while young Scott and young Jean have been the stars of this book usually, for the first 16 or so issues, I think it was Cyclops and Beast that really, Cyclops, Beast, and Magic that really, really drove home the emotional beats of this issue. And then I want to say it touched me, but I don't want to give it like this weird feeling that this was like some amazing book that we're going to look back on, you know, years from now. It wasn't that deep, but it was a very well-written issue that it definitely upped the game for a battle of the Atom. So
we have another X-Men team.
Yeah, man.
You know what? I have to say that I did read that. I had kind of forgotten I'd read it because it was kind of forgettable. But one thing that it seems like they really want to put forward in this storyline is I think Beast is really headed towards some type of crash.
You think so?
Because
your favorite when character, you Hank saw the look,
you know, I love Hank, and seeing the look on his face when Allison caught that thing in her chest,
it looked
that
fiercely.
Just wrote.
I don't know about you,
rejected.
But it looked fiercely. Am I the only one who thought it looked Phoenix-y?
You very much so. As a matter of fact, I was thinking.
Yeah, that's definitely got to be the answer, right? I mean, I thought that, but then, you know, then
it was probably Gene.
Quentin Quire, though.
No, yeah. I'm thinking Quentin Quire.
You think he did it?
Yeah, why not? He's a dickhead.
Well, he has the Phoenix in this future.
I think it was Gene. I think this is pre-Quentin.
Yeah, but
Quire.
Why would it? Yeah, but I don't see. Well, granted, this is. New, didn't go back in time, Jean, but I don't see why she would just take and kill Allison as, like...
That's the fun part. We find out. I'm just kidding.
No, but also, on top of which, Jean not having the Phoenix host, not being the Phoenix host, I never seen her manipulate fire like that, you know? That's a bit beyond anything I've ever seen before. With the telekinetic, even one like Jean, I don't see that. At first, I thought it was fucking Pyro, I'll be perfectly honest. But even then, that would have been something that would have came at her. That looked like it kind of came out of her chest rather than hit her chest, to me.
Well, by the way, Jean is standing on that stage.
She's a psychic. That doesn't mean she can't do it from far away.
It seems
plus,
very...
how do you explain Madrix being taken out like that? They look all lobotomized.
That was that. How great is that? You know, just to be like Magic. I mean, Madrox is our freaking security detail. Like, yeah. That is so genius.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That is.
Oh,
yeah,
so
but apparently
genius.
He was useless because, as a matter of fact, you know that kind of leads credence to Quentin Quire being the one who was behind that. I mean, they didn't look dead. They just looked like they were mind blasted.
Well, yeah, it's either Gene or Quentin. It's one of those two.
I think you know what?
Or Cyclops.
I think, nah.
No.
They don't look like they've been optic blast. Optic blast. But no, they look like.
Or
they,
Emma. But we don't see Emma at all in this.
Yeah, but I mean, then explain what happened to Allison.
I think that's the weird thing. It's like, why kill Allison? Right.
Because she was Dazzler. That's good enough for her. Now, let me stop. I think that was funny, and like I said, the look on Beast's face when it happened was just like, oh, I done fucked up again, I lose.
I would not be surprised if it went down a dark road with Beast. It wouldn't be the first time, but
there's an actual dark Beast out there somewhere.
Yeah, and he's still alive. That's why.
You know what? Dark Beast is evil. This looks like Beast is just, he'll break. You know what I mean?
He's tired, yeah.
Yeah, Exactly. He doesn't look like, he looks like, I mean, listen to this. It's never different. Two steps forward, seven steps back. We're fools. We are absolute fools. You know?
It's like that good guy who, he's that good guy who will do good no matter what, but eventually everybody has their breaking point.
Yeah, and he'll just walk away from all of it. I see, I don't see him turning. I just see him going, you know, fuck all y'all. I'm out.
Which wouldn't be the first time, but it's interesting to see why it happened
for
here.
For him, though? When
well, he walked out on Scott when he found out about
it. No, but that was because he saw what he was doing. Not that he was going to give up on everything.
That's
he
true. Just saw you're right, you're right, you're right. This is different.
The path that he's taken was going to be, you know, radically different than what he wanted to do. This, at least, you know, Unicorn Beast here. Unicorn Beast is looks like he's getting really close to that edge, you know, really close to that edge. I would hate and love to see that happen to current day Beast. Love it because I think it might actually be an interesting story. Hate it because I love Beast and Beast is solid. He's solid. You know, he's like Ben. He's that guy you count on, you know? Yeah. So what do you do when that guy you count on, you can no longer
count
on? That's
where the interesting story happens.
Yeah. Right. Agree. Fucking Cyclops with the mustache thing. and freaking Sage Iceman. What the holy fucking hell.
That's why I like they don't tell us too much, and especially the Wolverine Jubilee character is supposed to be. It's like, no, we're not supposed to tell them. Shut up. I could not help but giggle at that. I like.
Is he still supposed to be a vampire there?
No, this is the future, so we don't know.
I know, right, but I'm saying I didn't really read any of that crap with Vampire Jubilee, so this being...
I don't know if it's her, though, because when Colossus grabs her, he says Wolverine called... No, because like, at point she's called Wolverine, at point she's called Jubilation, which I was like, huh. Yeah, Wolverine, right. Like, he's like magic and her about to duel. It's like, Wolverine, please calm down. But then before, I think he called it Jubilation, which was weird.
I figured it was like a Wally type thing. You know, she took up the name because, you know, the affinity for the person.
Probably.
Garrett did it.
I don't know. Maybe she is because she does have blue skin. So.
Or maybe she's his kid with Jubilee.
Ooh. All right. Well, what do you give as a rating for Battle of the Atom Part 6?
Definitely a 4 out of 5.
Okay. You are right in that double page spread of Allison was beautifully done. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah. Fucking hilarious though.
And last but not least, let's go to the T-Man with all new X-Men special number one, featuring everybody's favorite hero, Spidey Octopus.
Oh, what? More talking? Oh man. God. Oh, hold on, wait a second. Where the hell was I? I was here, and then I was there, and then I wasn't there anymore, and now we're here. All new X-Men special, guest starring Spidey Ock. This is probably the first time where I noticed how many parts this is supposed to be. I just knew there would be another one. I didn't know how many exactly. Basically, this is the young kid X-Men going out, taking the subway for the first time and trying to acclimate themselves to how different this day and age is to where they have been, you know, maybe a couple weeks prior. Teen Angel isn't here, so this is was it New X-Men number 9 or 10, I think it is, that he jumped ship?
Yeah, before all the X-Men Uncanny X-Men number 4 or some shit. Whatever.
Okay. Oh, well, He's not here. And them riding the subway and watching Bobby trying to figure out Manhattan subway lines. Actually, that tickled me a lot. So they go to Times Square and, you know, they're caught up in the lights and the glitz and whatever the fuck. And, you know, everybody, you know, kind of being New Yorkers. But, you know, we're talking a day and age where technology is way more invasive and pervasive and, you know, what's that other word I'm looking for? Ubiquitous. And Jean actually kind of, you know, getting that whole telepathic headache, and Scott kind of going, yeah, I'm kind of getting the same thing because there's too many conversations going on at once. And you could see Scott just trying to go, hey, Gene, do you want to – hey, Gene, how about this? And Bobby's all, you know, bouncy. Oh, people, let's do something. Hey, this looks like fun. Hey, what can we get in the middle of? Hank, of course, is the one who, you know, wants to stroll and observe things, you know, take it down a notch and just see what we can see. So, okay, fine. That's kind of what I would expect for, you know, Hank to do here. And, of course, he picks up on not the chicks that are doing yoga in the park because that's what Bobby sees, but he sees this girl sitting in the park reading a book, and it ends up being about physics. Yes, physics. But, you know what, she's attractive, and, you know, he strikes up a conversation, and she's like, oh, really? And I could really care less. I kind of flipped through that. And no, there's a call to action, fighting and violence. Yes, so off he goes. Gaboing, gaboing. Somebody had stolen a wallet, a couple of handbags. And well, he gets in the middle of it, and then he shows up, and he walks back to the woman. And, you know, she's all like, oh, you must be a mutant. And I'm sitting here looking at this, and she's got the biggest pie-eating grin on her face. And really, if I had never read a Marvel book before, then it wouldn't bother me as much. But seeing her just, golly gee whiz, you must be one of them. That kind of bothered me. You know, it really did. So then, you know, they go and they had been talking about more sciencey stuff, and she takes them back to her, you know, what's it? I think it's Empire State. Everybody in Manhattan in the Marvel Universe goes to Empire State. There's like no other fucking colleges in this fucking universe.
It's just ESU all the way.
ESU. You know what? Even in, what was it? I think Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and in 90s Spider-Man, it was still ESU.
Empire State University. You know, that fucking campus must be huge.
Well, not anymore, because remember, didn't Starbrand blow that shit up?
I don't remember.
I think he did that in Avengers.
Whatever. They'll rebuild it. Damn it.
Yeah, at some point, you know, minus about 600 people. But, so she takes him, and he kind of mentioned that, yeah, I had a professor here. He was Dr. So-and-so and whatever. And then that doctor shows up. And he says, oh, you might not remember me. I took one of your courses. And, you know, the doctor's like, yeah, I think I remember you. You seem a little young to have taken my courses. And he tries to explain it away. But fortunately, he doesn't have to do a whole lot of talking because Dr. Octopus explodes in on the scene. And I'm like, hey, look, it's Tubby. He's back. Yaw, yaw, yaw. Beast decides to, you know, he's going to do the hero thing because that's what Hank does. And, of course, as you would expect, it doesn't go good for him. Gene and Scott are, you know, Gene is wearing 60s clothing. And I say this, she's got the headband. She's got a skirt on that's down to her knee. And she's got, like, those.
The go-go boots?
No. But she's got those, like, kind of 60s movie glasses, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, holy fucking shit, that's retro. I mean, well, you know, Scott's look kind of works today. Mm-hmm. Hers, no. You know, but, I mean, this is what it's supposed to be. So, you know, all well is good. But their bit alone is, of course, interrupted because freaking Hank is sent flying from the campus, and he ends up landing, you know, in the heat nearby. But says something for his durability because, you know, he crushes a car and a store and the street, and he just kind of got his clothes all torn up, you know. Thumbs up to Hank. So the X-Men get engaged with Dr. Octopus, and my problem with this book right here is you would think four people with abilities would be able to handle this man without any real assistance. No, that is not the case.
Is it superior? Is it Octopus or is it Spider-Man?
No, it's Octopus. Doc Ock.
Wait, what?
It's Doc Ock. Doc Octopus has shown up looking for the professor that Hank was kind of reintroducing himself to. And he's just screaming out, Jude, bring me Dr. Jude, Jude.
It's not Peter Parker, is it?
No. He's kind of, he's fat and he's tubby and he's, you know, irate and irrational. So I would say no.
Okay.
Of course, Spider-Ox shows up because, well, you know, that's kind of the nature of the game. And he punches the shit out of him. Which, again, illustrates my problem with Dr. Octopus. I understand that his gimmick was to control those arms. They could extend and they move really fast and da-da-da-da-da. But the underlying problem with that is Dr. Octopus was like Joker, you know? As a matter of fact, worse than a Joker. Dr. Octopus really couldn't take a hit. So, yeah, this should really be a quick fight. And, you know, Dr. Octopus, like fucking Doom, as far as I'm concerned, managed to make a long-standing career out of being able to last longer than he had any real rights to. Here, the kids are kind of tossing stuff at him, but he's kind of handling his own, and they can't put him down. Spider-Ox shows up, and he actually takes command of the situation. He's like, hey, look, guys, man, can you do anything more, you know, useful than throwing snowballs? And Bobby's like, there's a lot of derpness going on here, but, you know, he gets them to do something that comes together, and they can put him down. They take Ock, they get him out of the arms, and then they do a scan and they find out that he's, you know, all charged up with a high dose of gamma radiation. Who do we know that's an expert in gamma radiation? So naturally, the next thing we know, next thing we see is Spider-Man calling in an official S.H.I.E.L.D. request for a consultation by Dr. Bruce Banner. Spider-Man, of course, is
Banner.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what's funny about that is the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys that Spider-Ock talks to, they tell him that, yeah, Doc Banner's out handling something for us really quick, but he'll be with you as soon as he's finished. And the next shot, this freaking Hulk in his new battle armor just beating the shit out of something. Oh, I love it. I hate that armor, but I just like the seeing Hulk smash. That calls something primal in me. It really does. Either way, the book ends there, to be continued. I enjoyed the nostalgic bit here. The inclusion of Spider-Ock, I guess, was necessary because you have to have him on board, you know, with him ranting and screaming about how this man can't be the real one. He's an imposter or a clone or some crap like that. And the Snyder comments he was given to Jean, you know, when he called her a clone, she's like, "I'm not a clone," and he's like, "Yeah, I'm sure the first clone out the tank said that too." It comes together, you know, it really does come together, and it gives you altogether. It's a good start, you know. I think I'll be there for the second issue, if only to see what. You know, what Banner, you know, brings in and how Hulk will ultimately end up getting involved. I want to check that out.
Where's the second issue show up at? It's not like all new X-Men special number two though, right?
No, it's like Spider-Man or something.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Like it'll say all new special and then number one and then just say part one, part two of this or whatever.
I'm not interested. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm not reading it either. But I imagine this is like their replacement for an annual storyline, I guess. I don't know. They're just calling them specials. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's the Arms of the Octopus, so that would be the title for the story. So you just look at whichever the next two books.
Does it say
I guess
at the end
for...
of the issue to be continued in X or Y.
Looking up right now. Oh no! In this next Indestructible Hulk special number one. So there you go.
Who wrote this again?
Yeah, good point. Because I actually didn't pay attention as usual. Because I don't really care. Mike Costa.
Oh, Mike Costa. Drawn
by Chris Anka. Actually,
Chris Anka's great. I love his art.
Yeah, the art actually was pretty good here. He did both pencils and inks. You know, I liked it. The art was good. The story was good, too. You know?
He'll be doing a
nostalgic, like, sort of Marvel tale, just like characters meeting up together, fighting. You know, before it was all complicated.
Yeah, it's not
it's like a team up, but not yet. The event story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anything more to say, T-Man?
I you know, even though it is an X-Men team up book, I enjoyed this. I give this a 3.8 Warriors out of 5. I would say if to get everything all together, you know, wait till it comes out in the trade. Then you get to read it in one shot, bing, bang, boom, rather than having to wait for it to be put together. But I liked it. You know, if you wanted to get it and, you know, just do it like normal, hey, go for it.
All right. So we're going to conclude this episode. This is courtesy of Mr. West's brilliant idea. What characters do we believe deserve an original graphic novel treatment? Sort of either an origin story, just a story that we would like to see more of. And for me, as soon as he said this, and I've been begging Marvel for every panel I go to and every Twitter thing I got, I so desperately want a Captain Britain original graphic novel. I fucking
which Captain Britain?
Brian Braddock.
No. As what, the tank, or the as he originally came out as? The Spectral Warrior kind of.
Probably the Spectral Warrior. I haven't read a lot of Captain Britain just because a lot of the stuff I've read is like Excalibur team up stuff.
Right.
And then I read an original graphic novel that Alan Moore and Alan Davis did together, which is a lot of like ethereal shit, which I love. Uh-huh. So maybe more of that. But if they do more superhero, I wouldn't be upset either. I just want more Captain Britain. Like, I feel like. I feel like he's one of the Marvel characters that he kind of does everything. He's magic, but he's superhero. He has a little bit of tech side, too. He protects the Omniverse.
He's Captain Marvel.
A little bit, yeah. But more better and with a better costume. Yeah, I said it. But I just want more Captain Britain. And like when they announced these, and this all started because Wes brought up the Season 1 graphic novels, if they ever announce a Captain Britain Season 1, I am buying that shit. I'm like, nope, no hesitation. Just I don't care who's on it. Just give me the book. Give me the book. I want it.
Hmm.
That's why I read Secret Avengers when he was on the team, because I need my Captain Britain fix. He doesn't get used as much as I think he should, and he's such a good, interesting character. You know?
Is he still on that? Because aren't they rebooting that book?
No, he's not on the team anymore. He's not doing anything. He's in limbo right now, which sucks.
Literally or figuratively?
No, he's teaching at the Braddock Academy.
Is that where he's at?
Yeah.
It's still limbo. He's not.
You had to read like an issue of Avengers Arena to catch him.
Oh, fuck that. That doesn't matter. I know I'm never going to get a Captain Britain ongoing because I don't think he would do well at all. It'll probably be canceled by like issue 6. But like just give me something, you know, even if it's only a 6-issue miniseries, I'll take it. But yeah, Captain Britain, that's an easy answer for me. What about you? Since you are the one who started this questioning, what would you want to see more of?
Mutants. One in particular.
Wow.
Cyclops. Yeah. Give me some.
Are you
Scott
kidding
Summers.
Me?
You realize all I have to do is point at Uncanny X-Men number 1 to 544, and there you go. You got a whole bunch of Cyclops.
Yeah, I get that, but it's not specifically Sky Cyclops. He's been in team books his entire life. And yes, he has had a couple of ongoing series. Yes, he's had a couple of miniseries. But give him 200 pages of just straight story and not have it focus on him falling out of an airplane. It's going to be classic. It's just going to be classic.
If it's not about him falling out of the airplane, it's going to be him dealing with, oh no, I can't open my eyes.
Yeah, see, exactly. I feel like if you can just say, Like, that's why I didn't want to focus it on season one. I didn't want it to be an origin story rehash. I just feel like if you give Cyclops an adventure, a grand scale adventure. What was that?
Before he meets Professor Xavier?
It doesn't need... No, it could be in the midst of, I don't know. It could be after that. It can be just a regular old day. Like, hey, I'm going to go to the bank today, get a couple dollars, and then go to the baseball game. And then, you know, stuff hits the fan, you know? I just want to see a good, solid Cyclops story that goes from comedy to action to drama to romance. Give me all of that in 200 pages, romance? And I know it can be done.
No, he doesn't deal too well with romance. He kind of fucks things up, I'm just saying.
And there's your drama.
You'd be that whore, Emma.
Well, then I suggest
watch your mom. No. Watch your mom.
Jesus, read X-Factor 1 to 5. There you go. Go back and get like an X-Factor.
Hey, that looks like a redhead. You look like Gene. Let's get married. Scott,
this is why I don't come on the show.
Oh.
Hey.
You guys are mutant haters and biggest.
I've been reading this for a lot longer.
I hate you so much.
Although, have you ever read X-Factor? I asked you that question.
No.
Then, if
not
you...
Not one incarnation. No.
Okay. Then, seriously, if you want something... Okay, yeah, it's still a team book, but if you want something that really kind of shows the problems of, let's say, having the love of your life come back after you've already moved on. And I mean, you really see that story there.
Are you referring to the Madeline Pryor stuff?
She's not as much of a factor in it, in as much as the fact that you just happen to know that, yeah, she's his wife. She's not in it that much. But you see him... How they dealt with him, you know, just kind of going, what the fuck am I going to do? And knowing that the fact that he's thinking, what the fuck am I going to do, is actually part of the part of the thing that complicates shit. Yeah. You know, I would recommend, if you can find it, find a trade of those early issues. At least there should be one out there. I'd be surprised. But if you want something that shows like a really good, and I'm talking Cyclops as a decent human being here, okay, because he hasn't been there for a while, I recommend that. I really do. X-Factor was actually a good book for especially at the time that it came out, because, I mean, yeah, it played into the whole mutant hysteria thing, but there was just, yeah, there were some mutants that actually kind of were a problem. So yeah, it is that.
All right.
Me?
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
You've seen a lot of them.
Yeah, which is kind of the problem. You know what? I want Power Pack. That's it. There you go. Power Pack. Give me nice long Power Pack, and it, you don't have to de-age the kids, you know. You don't have to de-age the kids, but give me a nice, good a story where the kids get swept up in some shit that takes them off the planet, and it ends up becoming, you know, a nice, good space adventure. You know, that would be fun. Actually, Marvel needs more books like that that are fun and not retarded. Okay? Not something that's just going to make me go, God, you know, and I'm trying to pull up my hair. Barring that, then I would say maybe a story involving either Mar-Vell and or Carol Danvers, you know, as a captain. You know what? That would be awesome. Make it a time story where it's Mar-Vell thrust forward in time because of whatever the fuck, maybe some shit with the negative zone, and he meets Carol Danvers now.
Oh, is Captain Marvel Captain Marvel? That'd be cool.
Yes. That I think would be
real. And the there you could have the official. Okay, you're pretty cool.
Not that she needs
it, but sort of just like, you know, because I think she would like it if he
came back. Yeah, definitely. But I think it would be, he could feel good knowing that, you know, she turned out, you know.
Okay, that's what I mean. Yeah, and then
yeah,
and
all right, yeah, watching yeah, that no that would be, and again, I wouldn't keep this on Earth. That would have to be a space.
They would have
story.
To tiptoe around, like, hey, you kind of died.
Like, I don't think that's a good point too. That could be an interesting,
like, all those yeah, feelings of seeing somebody she cared about, maybe not in love interest wise, but just like as a good friend.
I wouldn't have it be current day Carol Danvers with the whole emotional detachment bullshit.
Oh, it'd be before all that happened, of course.
Yeah, because that's just garbage. But yeah, a power pack story, you know, with them out in space and Carol Danvers and Captain and Mar-Vell, because I don't want to say Captain Marvel and Ms. Marvel, Mar-Vell and Captain Marvel. Yeah, something with them. That would be fun.
Wouldn't you rather just read FF? Those are the better children. Future Foundation.
Some people just like Power Pack. He likes Power Pack.
One of them is already there.
Yeah, and he's kind of a Alex. Dick, and they're going to betray the team to Dr. Doom, but whatever.
Everybody does it.
No, but see, the problem with FF is... freaking Hickman killed it for me when he introduced that whole Black Bolt, you know,
come back wives from the dead.
Of, you know, that just, I couldn't read the book then. It was, you know, I can understand wanting to bring back a hero because you want to tell some stories with him, fine. But then at least be decent in how you bring them back. He just kind of brought him back and said, hey, I'm not dead. That's it. That's an insult.
I got one that he's kind of had a lot, but I want more Nick Fury. I'm not talking blurry.
Not blurry?
Not blurry. Because fuck that guy. Go back to the Ultimate Universe where you belong. Not racist at all. But I want, and the reason I'm on this because, of course, I read Jonathan Hickman's, you know, Nick Fury story,
Secret Warriors.
That's fucking Woo! Amazing.
Really good.
And then I read Garth Ennis's 12-issue story where it's Nick Fury from 1954 to now, and just sort of his commentary on war through Nick Fury's eyes. I want sort of chain smoking early Agent of Shield, not director Nick Fury, but Agent of Shield Nick Fury. You know, just that spy stuff. With the sexual tension with the Contessa, I want that.
I could work
like
with that.
Like the good spice, like the Starenko stuff. And I've had the fortune of actually reading that stuff. I want more. Obviously, you can't recreate what Starenko did, but you can, you know, not replicate it. But like,
yeah, you could. You just have to make him an alpha male. They don't do alpha males that much anymore.
That's true.
I did just pre-order that, by the way. The Shield
Fury
collection by Starenko. Yeah.
But
have either of you two ever read The Death of Shield?
Nope. Never even heard of it.
That's the one where that's the one where Nick Fury finds out that Shield had been infiltrated by a fuckload of LMDs. You know, and they actually managed to take down. They downed the helicarrier over. I think it was New York, and they do something in Hong Kong, but like a lot of the people that he had known, and you know, like Dum Dum, and I think Gabe had been replaced with LMDs. So it forced. It was actually a pretty long. I think it was a 4-part miniseries. That was good old school Nick Fury. I recommend that if you want to read that, Icky. That was some good shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of Nick Fury stuff that I like, but like, just really, just get rid of Blurry, please. I want my chain smoking, eye patch wearing super badass alpha male, spies on everybody like the NSA does kind of guy.
You're not even reading Secret Avengers, are you?
I know, but he was in Captain America, and I know that guy exists, and the fact that he exists pisses me off. Like,
did you read the first issue of Secret Avengers with him, Wes?
Yeah.
And did you like it?
You don't. The thing is, I don't mean this in any offense, but you don't have that connection I do with Nick Fury.
I read Secret Wars.
No, that's not enough. That's not enough. I've read more Nick Fury than you have. That's a damn good story, but. To say that one of your favorite characters, and Nick Fury is one of my more favorite characters in the Marvel Universe, up there with Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, to say, like, hey, you like this guy? Well, he's kind of done. We're going to bring in the black guy now because he's kind of a big thing in the movies. So, yeah, bye. And that just, I'm like tasering this, like, that just pisses me the fuck off. Especially since Sam Jackson's already existed in the Ultimate Universe. I don't care if he's doing anything good. I don't care if he's a fantastic character, an amazing character. He's not. He will never be. The problem is he's replacing Nick Fury. That's the problem.
Yeah, but my problem with that is he's replaced Nick Fury to no visible effect. I don't think any of the books...
They use Maria Hill before they use him.
Yeah, so it makes no difference. It makes no difference, then why bother? You know, there's no point to it. Even Coulson being in fucking Secret Avengers, I don't think that book does good sales. Does it?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't believe it does. So you got to kind of wonder, what's the point then? You know, why would you take it?
It have big name creators on it. I mean, Spencer and... God, I didn't forget the artist's name at this point. Like, that's not a big name. That's not going to get you drunk. 90% of the industry doesn't sell.
But a book can survive and gain popularity based on the quality of its writing, regardless of who's writing.
Uncanny Avenger. All right, sorry, what?
So, regardless that it doesn't have a big name, I'm just saying, if it's not really doing well, and if your attempts to harmonize your movie verse and, you know, what people, again, the thinking is that people might gravitate towards your paper stuff, you know, but you're only using them over here, actually over here, and this isn't doing well. Really, then why would you, there's no real justification for trashing the character who's been there for so long. Mm-hmm. There's none, you know? Creating Agent Coulson for the 616, fine, what the fuck ever.
He doesn't replace anybody, he just adds.
Exactly, he's an addition, like a Harley Quinn, okay? Even though there was a Harley Quinn beforehand, this version was like, hey! Okay, fine, people liked her.
Hey,
people
Mr. liked J.
Agent Coulson, huh?
No, I was trying to do a horrible Harley Quinn impersonation.
People liked Agent Coulson, fine. I can work with that. You can stick him in here and there and all over the place, sprinkle him around like you did Nick Fury back in the day. There's no reason to get rid of Nick Fury just because, well, the people that saw the movie know the black guy. Yeah, let's have something happen to him kind of off-panel and then just kind of ship him off to a he'll-never-get-better home. And we'll just put the black guy there. As if that makes any... You know, I mean, seriously, it's a change that doesn't fix or do anything. So if it's a change that doesn't do anything, then what was the point of making a change? You know?
Yeah.
That's just disgraceful.
Excuse me while I go smoke in honor of Nick Fury.
And drink some hard vermouth and then go play poker with Ben Grimm.
Yep. All right. Anything else? Got any other original graphic novels? I would like a Sunfire.
Shang-Chi.
Sunfire for me.
Interesting.
I would like Sunfire. Oh, it's just him in adventure in Japan. That's something outside of Wolverine, we don't really see much. And he's actually Japanese. So.
And Luke Cage with the old costume on.
Tiara and all.
With the afro. That's right. Tiara Cage. That's right. Screw all of that. You know, I can accept bald guy with the mustache, but yeah, give me Tiara guy. That was my Luke Cage.
I would like a Kitty Pryde original graphic novel.
Her and Lockheed?
Sure.
If you make it with Lockheed, yeah, I could.
Yeah,
of course
Lockheed would be there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, yeah. I could definitely read that.
Yeah. I've already got a lot of too many Punisher original graphic novels. You know what? And I think you might agree with me, but what about a Colossus original graphic novel?
See, the problem, I don't see Colossus as a solo guy. You know, I mean, he's the type of person that will avoid trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, you'd really have to make a situation that he just can't avoid anything. It's just all coming at him no matter what. And I don't know. It's Colossus. I would rather see Nightcrawler.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
good. I'd rather see a Nightcrawler.
Original graphic.
Whatever. Novel. Yeah, over him. Actually, yeah, I'd like to see a Nightcrawler. You know what? Damn it, they killed him.
Well, he's coming back, so.
Yeah.
Any other characters, Wes, you want to see? Original graphic
novel. Yeah, I was going to say Emma, but.
Oh, that whore? Yeah, sure. That's fine. You can like her.
I'm not going to let you end the episode by calling my lover a whore. That's wrong.
You know she is, though.
She's not. She's not. Sue Storm is a whore.
Whoa! That's blasphemous, you jerk.
Emma is a saint compared to Sue Storm. Yeah, man.
Queen of the Hellfire Academy versus Sue Storm of the Fantastic Four. Sure. Sure.
Sue Storm's probably had sex with, like, what, two guys her entire life? Emma could probably look at an airport
a
and go,
failed
him,
actress?
Come on.
Yeah. Man. You know what that means.
She was a failed actress in the 60s. That doesn't mean she was giving it up. She might have given a hand job, but that doesn't mean she was fucking.
She was in the specialty acting.
She's the mom of the Marvel Universe. I don't want to think about Sue Storm like this.
If Sue Storm was having sex, freaking Emma was giving trains. All right.
Emma was too high class. Nobody could touch
her. Oh, please. High class?
High class.
You could take Emma behind a corner somewhere. Look at her costume for like 20 years. She wore freaking negligee and then a tidy.
Hey, car dealerships have glass windows. That don't mean you get to touch everything you see.
Yeah, but
you can't test drive Emma.
You know who deserves an original graphic novel? Wolverine.
Dude, shut up.
He needs
shut
a
up.
Oh,
please.
Logan, I'm the only one who loves you now. All right. I think we should wrap this.
And what?
All right. West, you are all over the internets. What can people find you?
Follow me on Twitter at SpeedsterSite or hit me up at thegreenlanterncorps.com where I tend to ramble about a bunch of things or
ruin the fun of people having conversations.
I like to give my opinion that usually means I like to state facts. So, there.
Your opinion is that you like to state facts?
My opinion is fact.
Ah, we have it recorded.
and just like you can find Wes at thegreenlanterncorps.com, you can also find me at thegreenlanterncorps.com where every Wednesday I write a little review on whatever particular Green Lantern issue is out. So please read that. Also, follow me at twitter.com/MarvelousIggy and my blog, MarvelousIggy.wordpress.com, where you get new content every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
New content?
Yep. Whoa. I like using that word, content. Say it with me now. Content.
Content. Content.
T-Man, you got anything to wrap it up before we leave?
Yeah, big shout-out to Spider-Lantern for the Coco Avengers poster.
Yes.
Big slut dude. That shit was awesome. There was something for God Mirror that I wanted to promote, and I'm so sorry, I forgot. It's
I don't
a site
think God
that
Mirror
had.
Even listens, but whatever.
He might. Well, he does.
Does he?
You know, well, he's on Facebook, you know.
I didn't fucking
know. And I told
notice.
Him, and he had something on
holy
on
shit.
Facebook that I'd seen, and.
Hmm.
Damn it, I forgot the name of it. Ah, hell, I'll have to do it for the next show.
Yes.
But, you know, it's out there. God, Mary, kick ass. Gojira. It's actually a good thing.
Can I mention that I didn't get a chance to talk about this during the show because we were talking about all the great things coming out of the X-Men books. But the Superior Foes of Spider-Man is an amazing book. It had the ending to issue 4 made me want to run on Twitter and say, F you, Nick Spencer. It was so good. It was so good it made me hate him.
People love that book, don't they? Huh?
It is amazing. It's like...
I heard it's Hawkeye light.
Yeah, no, it's not Hawkeye light. It's Hawkeye for bad guys. That's what it is.
So Hawkeye light, okay. Taser can testify this. You cannot get me to buy a book, an ongoing series about villains. You can't do it. I won't do it.
You know what? I would have said they're not villains, but this last issue pretty much said we're villains. Luke Cage shows up. How's that?
Yeah, black
guy.
Did
you buy it?
If Shang-Chi showed up, he would have bought it. Or read it, at least.
Last thing for Kelly Sue DeConnick, you hack. You couldn't come up with anything original or new to dump on freaking Carol Danvers. You had to go back to her having no type of emotional resonance to her memories, so everything's just kind of bleh. You fail. You suck. Stop sucking so I won't drop the book. All right, I'm done.
All right. With that note, we will see y'all next week. Oh, also, the recruitment drive is still open, so if you know anybody who wants to be a full-time member of the Mighty Warrior Stream Marvel podcast, please contact me at twitter.com/MarvelousIggy. We'll talk there. Or you can email the show at thewarriorstream@gmail.com. Yes, that is still a thing. So, yeah. Spread the word,
it helps peoples. To bring cheese. Okay, yes. Bring cheese. It helps.
We'll see y'all next week with episode number 147.
Woo!
In measured 100 weight and penny pound, when the man comes around, of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.